Matthew chapter 6 this morning. I had a couple of things come to my mind as I was doing my prep work this week and wanted to take a side trip, take somewhat of a treasure hunt this morning. Treasure hunting is a real thing. A treasure hunter is, by definition, a person who seeks for, recovers, or salvages valuables. Now, valuables would be gold, jewels, artifacts. But a treasure hunter is one who seeks for, recovers, or salvages valuables that are lost, buried, or sunken at sea. Some treasure hunters are hobbyists. They're the ones that take the metal detector with them when they go on vacation. But some are professionals. They spend their time looking for treasure, and they make a lot of money doing so. They use research, historical data, radar, and other sophisticated searching instruments, and even excavation equipment to find and recover these treasures. Treasure hunting is so popular that it even has its own genre in the entertainment world. There are podcasts that are devoted just to treasure hunting. There are movies that are based on treasure hunting. The Indiana Jones franchise is about searching for lost treasure, historical and artifact items, national treasure. There were a couple of movies Nicolas Cage was in. I understand that's been spun off into a series in the Disney franchise. Popular television shows like The Curse of Oak Island. I've seen a couple episodes of that while staying with people. They were very interested in that. The Librarians, I've watched some of that show. That's interesting. Outer Banks. So there's very much a part of a genre in the entertainment industry that is about treasure hunting. There is an excitement to treasure hunting, the rush and the reward that comes as a result of putting in the work and putting in the effort and actually coming across something that has been lost, coming across something that is of value and perhaps even life-changing. We shouldn't be surprised then when we turn and we find the Bible using the idea of treasure and treasure hunting to make some points. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Notice Jesus doesn't say, don't go looking for treasure. Jesus says, look for the right kind of treasure. So what are some of these treasures? That is, what are some things that the Bible refers to as treasures? There are six things that I want us to look at for the young people and those who are young at heart. I've printed out a treasure map, and we're going to fill this in as we go from one to the other. Several things the Bible describes as treasures. Have we discovered any of them? Do we appreciate the value of these things that the Bible calls treasures? Let's ask these questions as we go through. Get our maps out. Let's follow along. Number one, interestingly enough, the Bible calls itself a treasure. The psalmist praises the value of possessing God's word in Psalm 119 and verse 162. "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." So discovering a great treasure causes one to rejoice. And the psalmist is saying that the word of God is great treasure. In verse 72 of this same psalm, the psalmist says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." Think about that image of Scrooge McDuck diving into his swimming pool filled with gold coins. And the psalmist is saying that's nothing compared to God's word. That is a true treasure. David puts his appraisal on the value of God's word in Psalm 19 in verse 10. We sing Psalm 19 very often, the law of the Lord. But the verse that has been chosen to be repeated as the chorus in that song is verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That's David's appraisal of the word of God. It is finer, it is better, more desirable than a treasure of fine gold. Quickly, when you come to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses this figure regarding the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 7, he says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Wow, treasure in earthen vessels. What is that? The earthen vessel, if you look at the context there, the earthen vessel is our physical bodies. Remember, we're animated dust. So the earthen vessel, that's us. And the treasure is the gospel, the word of God. And as we take the time to search through this treasure and we write the law of God on our hearts, as we meditate upon it, and we write it and hide it in our heart, we store up this treasure for ourselves. But here's the thing about the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the word of God, it's meant to be shared. And when we share it, we don't lose any of it. It's kind of like love. When we share love, we don't lose any love. When we share the word of God, we don't lose it, but others gain. Others discover that treasure as well. So what do we have as a treasure? The Bible tells us, number one, the word of God is a treasure. But the Bible also says that knowing Christ is a treasure. And if you think about it, this makes sense. It ties in with the first point, because the theme, the subject of God's word, which is a treasure, is God's Son, which is a treasure. The Old Testament says that Jesus is coming. The Gospels say He's here. The rest of the New Testament say He is coming again. So Jesus is the central theme of the Word of God. Jesus Himself is a treasure. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 and at verse 8 that he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. Think about that phrase for just a moment as you're turning to Philippians. I want us to read from Philippians chapter 3, but think about that phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Imagine being shown a vault that is filled with gold or filled with silver. And as far back as you can see, the piles of gold go back as far as you can see, but there's no way that you can get to it because you can't climb over the pile that's right in front of you. Unsearchable riches of Christ. We will follow Christ our entire lives. We will sit at His feet and we will listen to Him teach and we will learn about what He has done and what He does for us, and we'll never exhaust that. It is a treasure that never runs out. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul made it his life's goal to obtain, to lay hold of the riches of Christ. I want to read through these verses. And we're familiar, a lot of us are familiar with the book of Philippians, so we're familiar with these verses. But I want us to approach them this morning from the perspective of a treasure hunter. Now let's look at what Paul says here. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 14. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Like a modern day treasure hunter, Paul sacrificed everything that he had to. He committed himself entirely to obtaining this treasure, to reaching this one goal. Christ is that treasure for us. Knowing Christ is a treasure for us. Well, let's move on. The kingdom of God is a treasure. And this is connected to the previous point because Christ is the King of the kingdom. And so knowing Christ is knowing the kingdom, being a part of the kingdom. This sermon, the idea of this sermon actually came from this verse here. I was reading through the book of Matthew in my daily Bible reading. For some reason, the parable of the lost treasure stood out to me. Matthew 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's the value of the kingdom of God. And it looks like an interesting practice here. Maybe this guy is somewhat of a swindler. Maybe he should have told the owner of the property what he had on his property. Let's not overextend parables. Let's let the parables make the point. Jesus is actually referring to a common practice of his day. People would bury their valuables. But if they didn't tell anybody what they did and they died without telling them, it was lost. Here is a man who's walking in a field and he stumbles across, he finds a treasure. He's overjoyed, he covers it up, and he goes and he sells everything. Sells everything that he has so that he can buy that field and he can lay legal, legitimate claim to the treasure. And a point made here about the kingdom is that, number one, the kingdom is worth us giving up whatever it is we had to give up in order to obtain it. It's that valuable. And secondly, it must be obtained lawfully. We can't wrestle the kingdom away from someone. We can't enter into it by violence the way Jesus talks about some were doing in his day. This is the value that Jesus places upon the kingdom, that it is worth us losing everything else in order to have it. And God is glad to give us the kingdom. In Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 34, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The kingdom of God, it is that treasure. What is it about the kingdom of God that makes it so valuable? Well, the kingdom of God is a present reality. And us being a part of the kingdom of God connects us in fellowship with God, but it also identifies us as God's people. And so that's a treasure. Those are blessings in the here and now. But there is a future aspect of the kingdom, which is to be enjoyed in its fullness. And that, of course, is heaven itself. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, Jesus told the rich young ruler, if you want to be perfect, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. So there is the kingdom of God. It is that treasure for us here and now, and that treasure for us into eternity. Wisdom is the next stop as we're going through our treasure map. Wisdom is viewed as a treasure because it is God's guidance for us in our lives in this world and in the world to come. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. I want to look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, but pay attention especially to verse 4. As we're reading through verses 1 through 5, but pay attention to verse 4. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, there treasure is a verb. You're treasuring these words. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 16 and verse 16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Wisdom is to be sought as one would hunt for treasure. And the storehouse of God's wisdom is, just like the riches of Christ, is unsearchable. Romans 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Again, as we spend our entire lives studying the Word of God, we never exhaust it. That's the wealth of understanding and knowledge that is there. Colossians chapter 2 and at verse 3 tells us that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are hidden in Christ. The world is competing with the Word of God. The world is vying for our attention. Different people bringing us different ideas of what constitutes wisdom. The Bible says that all the treasures of wisdom and understanding are hidden in Christ. So we go back to the second stop on our map. Christ is a treasure because all wisdom is found in Him. Of course, wisdom is ours for the asking. James 1 and verse 5. If we ask, God will freely give, but we're treasure hunting. You don't just happen upon treasure. You've got to go after it. And the same thing is true regarding wisdom. We've got to go to God's Word. We've got to search for it like we're searching for gold and silver. Here's something else. The Bible says that a good reputation is valuable. It is a treasure. In Proverbs 22 and at verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. It is important that we value and that we protect our reputation. Our reputation is what others believe about our character. And that needs to be protected. It needs to be valued. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. So having that good name, having that good reputation is a great treasure for us to have. A good name, a good reputation, you will find, will give you open doors. It will give you opportunity to share the gospel with others, to be of help to others, to be useful for the cause of Christ. It will sustain your influence for Christ, but a bad reputation is going to close those doors pretty quickly, and it's going to hinder your usefulness in the Lord's kingdom. You remember what the Lord said about the salt losing its savor? That's in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, but in Luke chapter 14, He taught on it on another occasion. Luke chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If you lose your influence, how can you get it back? That influence that is now tarnished, it is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's how important it is that we protect our influence and protect our reputation and protect our character. Because once it is lost, it is good for nothing. We need to maintain a good testimony. We need to maintain a good character through our faith. And then our last stop, the Bible teaches that a good spouse and good family life are a treasure. Proverbs chapter 31, could you imagine? Here it is, the second Sunday in May, and we're not going to go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous wife, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. This is the English Standard Version. An excellent wife, more precious than jewels. Proverbs 12 and at verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Proverbs 18 and at verse 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Let's remember that the Proverbs are general truths, general observations, because there are exceptions. Do you think Ahab got a great deal when he found Jezebel? No, there are exceptions. Just like Proverbs 22:6, raise up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We've seen evidence of the other side of that numerous times. But it's a general truth. If you've found a good wife, you have found a treasure. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter's talking to husbands, but says some complimentary things about their wives. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wife, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Peter describes a godly wife as an honorable treasure to be cared for and protected. You honor her as the centerpiece of your earthly treasure. She's there in the center. Now, we are well into the age of equality. We understand that. If we're going to take equality all the way, doesn't it stand to reason that wives need to treasure their husbands? If a wife has a godly husband, that is a treasure. On Wednesday night, after our Bible class was over, I found myself talking with two sisters in Christ here who are widows. And the conversation quickly went to the husbands that God had blessed them with. And the view was that, indeed, their husbands were blessings from God. Their husbands took care of them. Their husbands loved them. Their husbands never cheated on them, never stepped out on them. Their husbands were treasures. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it should be viewed. If you've got a godly spouse, you have a treasure. And then, of course, by extension, a godly family, a good family is a treasure. In Psalm 127, and at verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. That's a treasure. So if you have a child, if you have children, that's a treasure that has been given to you by God. And then Psalm 127 spills right into 128. There are some who believe that at one time they were just one psalm. As we look at 128, Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Let's pause right here for a moment. If the man is the head of the house, the wife is the heart of the house. You can't live without either one. Both are essential. The wife is the heart of the house. Your children, like olive plants all around your table. What does that mean, olive plants? Well, this is an agricultural society. They would have known that if a tree dies, then soon afterwards, growing up from its roots, will come another tree to take its place. And as a father looks at his children around the table, he sees the strength of the future for his family. And what a blessing that is. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. What a great blessing family is. The Bible says a godly family is a treasure, a treasure. Searching for and obtaining treasure is not an expression of sinful covetousness. I wouldn't want you to step away from a study like this and say, oh, the preacher got it all wrong. We're not to covet after things. And he talked about treasure the whole time. Jesus acknowledges this desire within us. Lay up treasures in heaven. He knows we're going to go after treasure. What he teaches us is to do it the right way for the right things. So the Bible tells us what constitutes a treasure. A treasure hunter is fixated on finding and obtaining treasure. It consumes his heart, his life, and his resources. Does that describe the way you and I go after the things we've talked about today? Do we value the treasures that God has already given us? Are we committed to obtaining the spiritual treasures that God freely offers to each and every one of us? Let's work on being treasure hunters. And one more thought before we have our prayer. You young people, next time you're reading your Bible and your parents come into the room and ask you, what are you doing? Say, I'm looking for treasure. That's where you'll find it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you bless us beyond measure in a world that distracts us with so much negative. Help us to be mindful to count our blessings and to put the proper appraisal on the spiritual blessings, the spiritual treasures that you give us in your word, in your son, and in his church. We thank you for the many blessings we have. Help us to glorify your name as a result of how freely you have blessed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.